Well, last time we met, we was talking about Lucifer and trying to, I hate talking about the devil, you know? I just don't want to give him any more time than he deserves. He deserves nothing, but we're going through this step by step, and when we get to these angels and Lucifer, there's several things that I really want to point out. Obviously, we know that Lucifer rebelled against God, and other angels followed him. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 15, it says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee." And verse number 17, it says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom for the sake of your brightness." Interesting passages here. And I just want to bring some of just a few things out. A lot of times people's concept of angels is they're like robots. You know, they just kind of do, they're programmed. They do what they're told. They don't. That's not true. They are very similar to humans in many different ways. For example, he says, "Your heart," talking to Lucifer. He said, "Thine heart was lifted up." Satan has a heart. Not a physical heart, but a created heart. That's the essence of our being. It's who we are. He was created with a free will. Angels can do what they want. We think that they're just programmed. They're not. He can think. He can reason, any of the angels. And sin always begins with the heart. And that's why he said, with your heart is where that started. The thought, out of the heart, God says. We decide, like Lucifer, we decide because of our free will, we decide whether we're going to follow God or whether we're going to follow our heart. And this has to do, remember, we've been laying a foundation for our worldview. What we find in the scriptures determines what we will believe about many other things. And some of these things I'm going to cover this morning, you may not think that they're really pertaining, but as we go along, and you come back to these, you'll find out that because we laid this foundation, you have no problem with difficult scriptures. So the worldview, whether it's Hollywood, even Hallmark. How many of you ladies watch Hallmark movies and stuff like that? You'll find exactly Satan's worldview on Hallmark. On many of these movies, they always say, "Well, trust your heart, follow your heart." They'll say, "Well, what is your heart telling you to do?" No, that's the world's philosophy. That's the world's view. It's what God says that matters. This is what He says about the heart. Proverbs 12 and verse 20 says, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil." When he rebelled against God, it was not the outward act. He said, "In your heart, you thought these things." These things proceed from the heart. He said, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil." Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." That's why you hear people say things and then they come back and say, "Well, I really didn't mean that." Yes, you did. That's why you said it. and it came from your heart. Now you've either got caught or you want to change your mind. It's in a bit. You put yourself in a bad situation. So you want to say, "Well, I really didn't mean that." Then why'd you say it? You know, out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. He said, for out of the heart proceedeth, now watch, not just the thought. It starts in the heart, just like Satan. It started in his heart. But he said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies, all of these different things. They start in the thoughts of the heart. If you're not thinking about these things, when it presents itself, it'll shock you and you'll shun away from it. But if you've been thinking about these things and it's been on your heart, you'll probably succumb. It starts from the thought, but it proceeds to these other things. Now notice in verse number 15 that we read a little bit earlier, he said you were perfect. God did not make a mistake when he created Lucifer. He didn't make a mistake when he created any of the angels. It's obvious that God created angels with that free will to obey or not to obey. Why? Because he chose to follow his heart. He chose to follow that desire that he had in his heart. And so then that's what caused him to fall, and we'll see that here in a minute. Lucifer is not just an opposite of God or an opponent of God. So don't give him more credit than he's due. Don't give him more power. Don't give him a greater position than he has. Again, last time we found out, everybody thinks he's a great musician, and the Bible says nothing about that. This is something that man has designed, because the terminology there, it has nothing to do with music. The fact is, it had to do with his apparel and these gems and the setting of the gems there in his garment there. Notice another thing, that God sets boundaries. In verse number 15 again, it says, thou wast created. Angels are created beings. God is self-existent. He is the potter. An angel is the clay, just like us. We are the clay. Now, the angel is supposed to obey God, but God gave them a free will just like he gave us, and we do not have to obey him. We know that because Lucifer chose to rebel. And not just he, but he influenced many of the other angels. How he did it, I don't know. Put thoughts in their heart, whatever. And they followed him. They had a choice. They could follow God or they could follow Lucifer. And many of them did. Now, God sets boundaries. And I'm just sticking this in here because it's important that you understand. It's just like you have three different entities that God established in the world. He established the home, he established the church, and he established government. All three are given authority by God, but limited authority. Okay? The home cannot run the church. The home cannot run the government. But the government can also not run the home, and the government cannot run the church. Now, they can inspect the lights for safety. They can have building codes on your church building. and things like this, government is given that responsibility to protect people. But they don't have ultimate authority. None of them do. Their authorities overlap to a degree. The same thing as angels, they are created beings, just like animals, just like humans. They are created beings. And there is a boundary on all of God's creation. Everything in God's creation has been limited to a certain degree. Angels also are limited by boundaries. That's why I remember when Satan was going to go attack Job, and God said, yeah, you can do this, but you cannot do this. That God sets boundaries, and they cannot go beyond it. Don't you think if Satan could have killed Job, he would have? Sure. But God set that boundary, and when God sets a boundary, you cannot go beyond it. You'd have to be more powerful than God. And that's why when we talk about eternal security, God says, I give you eternal life, and there's nothing you can do to change that. No man has the strength, the power, the intellect, anything to change that. God sets a boundary there. The same thing. Man is created in the image of God, and he is given dominion over the animals and the earth. That's why you see man running this world, basically. You don't see any animals running anything because they're animals. Matter of fact, we eat the animals. Man is designed to procreate. That's why we get married and we have children, and you follow that all the way through the scriptures. Man is designed to procreate. Animals are not equal to man. They're not equal to man. Animals reproduce after their own kind. You cannot join an animal with a human. They've tried. It won't work. Why? Because God set boundaries. And animals and man are limited in all of these different things here. God set boundaries to limit them so that we do not intermingle with different species. That preserves the integrity of all of these different species, integrity of man, and so on. Man and animals procreate after its kind and cannot mix. Say, well, that's simple. Angels are spiritual beings and created by God with specific roles, such as worship. They worship him, they serve him, that's their purpose. You find that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. They do not have the capacity for procreation or to form relationships in the same way that man does. They can't do it. Why? Because God has limited them. They cannot cross the angel boundary. The human cannot cross the human boundary. Animals cannot cross the animal boundary. They are limited by God. And these are important things, and we're going to talk about these later in a study, because that if you have that foundation, then other verses that many people discuss and go to blows on, you don't have a problem with it, because God says what he means, and he doesn't change, okay? In verse number 15 again, it says, iniquity was found in thee, from evil thoughts to evil actions. He made a choice to rebel. A free will gives you a choice, and with that choice, the responsibility and consequences for your actions. If you make the right choice, the consequences are the blessings of God. If you make the wrong choice, the consequences are the judgment or the curse of God. He lays that out in Deuteronomy very, very clearly. But if we understand that Satan made a choice, he can think, he has free will. He made the choice to rebel against God. That's why it says, what is the, he said, iniquity was found in him. What was that iniquity? What was found in him? Isaiah 14 gives us insight into what that iniquity was. In Isaiah 14 and verse number 12, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? See, he's still influencing. He says, for thou hast said in thine heart. Again, he brings out the fact that Satan has a heart. He can reason. He can do different things. He can make choices. Thou hast said in thine heart, there's the iniquity. In your heart, you said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And I've heard preachers talk about this, but every time that I've heard them, their emphasis is on I will, I will, I will, I will, on the pride, which that's good, but there's more to it. He said, I'll ascend into heaven. He wants to rule over the other angels. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars. He wanted to rule over the universe. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. He wanted to rule over spiritual things. That's whether it's religion, whether it's worship, all of that stuff. That's why he wanted to supersede Jesus. Remember when Jesus was being tempted by Lucifer in the garden or in the wilderness there. What did Lucifer say? If thou wilt but fall down and worship me. He wanted to rule over the spiritual things, superseding Jesus. Now, the fourth thing, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He wanted to rule over nature. He said, I will be like God. His desire was to be worshiped as God. Now, how do we know that? Not just in that verse and what it says, but you go to other verses. Matthew 4:8 says, again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above, number one, all that is called God. Whatever has to do with God, he's exalting himself over it. Notice the second thing, and that is worshiped. He wanted to rule the spiritual so that he as God, the third thing there, he wanted to be as God. And he said he sitteth in the temple of God where God was to be worshiped. He placed himself above God in these things, showing himself. He is trying to prove to himself. You know, many people, that they try to convince themselves. You ever watch the athletes and how they get pumped up and psyched up and everything? And boy, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. What are they doing? They are putting themselves above all of these things, showing themselves that they are great. Whether they're that great or not. But they're convincing themselves. Satan was doing the same thing, showing himself that he is God. All of these things we see in Revelation, or in Revelation chapter 13, in verse number 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. He hates everything that God has or does. And to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. If you can understand and really get this in your mind and heart, Satan hates God and anything and everything that God does. And he goes about trying to destroy anything that God is doing. That's why Satan fights so much when people are trying to establish a church, or when they're trying to have a mission conference, or no matter whether revivals, everything. He hates everything that God does. And that's why he hates us as well. Notice he said again, thine heart. That was the pride. But he says thy beauty. The beauty, like that, this is the cause of his pride and what corrupts godly thinking and wisdom. Have you ever noticed most of these Hollywood people are totally against God and everything? They think that their beauty is enough. It's not. And they don't like themselves. Surveys been taken, and most of these beautiful people, they don't like the way they look. They would change this. They would change that. I mean, all the superstars. They hate themselves. Satan will take that same concept of beauty, and he will twist our godly thinking, our godly wisdom, into distortion and destruction. That outward splendor that man has, that sparkle, that glory. The terminology means that which dazzles the eyes so that they cannot see the things in a true light. Things that are common sense, things that are just obvious, they can't see it. Why? Because Satan has so confused their wisdom. He's distorted their wisdom in thinking that they're greater. He thinks that because I'm beautiful, I deserve all of these things. He says, thy wisdom. God gives angels wisdom. Can you imagine that? God gives angels wisdom. However, wisdom without God is earthly wisdom. And that's why we're talking about this concept of a worldview, world's wisdom, or God's view. This worldly wisdom, it's wrong thinking. The wrong thinking, it causes one to think that they're better than they are. It causes them to think that they're infallible. I don't make mistakes. People say, oh, never admit that you're wrong. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's Satan's tactic. God says you need to confess your sins. You need to admit that you're wrong. But they think they're infallible. And when that happens, that corrupts everything. It corrupts their actions. It corrupts their doctrine. It corrupts their worship. And they become fools. They become fools. The brightness, he said, that glory, the splendor, the glamour, the reputation. It was like Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man in the world at one point, while he was following God's wisdom. But after a while, just like Lucifer, because he had everything, because he was so rich, because he had the women, because he had anything he wanted, it went to his head and destroyed the very thing that was he was trying to get is the very thing that destroyed him. What are we after? More. More. We're not content with what we've got. When Solomon, he chose his own wisdom, which is corrupted, and it destroyed him. So as you look at these verses, that was perfect. God didn't make a mistake. In thy ways from the day that thou wast created, he's only a created being, until iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart gives you a different concept of Satan than this little old fellow running around with the red suit and the pitchfork, and because of thy beauty, and has corrupted thy wisdom. His thinking was distorted by the reason of brightness. All of the blessings, all of what God had given him and prospered him, and the position that he had, all of these things is what end up destroying him. I've watched it in Christianity, in fundamental Baptist churches, where pastors, God blesses, and they begin to think that they're somebody. They forgot that they started out as a nobody, and they're still nothing but a piece of dirt that God put together and breathed life into. Never think you're better than you are. I'm not saying think down of yourself, because God didn't make a mistake. He created you exactly the way he wanted. And he wants to use you in that capacity. But when we get blessed, don't let those things end up destroying us and warping our thinking and our wisdom. Now, Lucifer's condemned for his rebellion in these same verses in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. Notice he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which thou didst weaken the nations? For that out of thine heart," he said, "I will ascend, I will exalt," all of these different things. But he says in verse 14, or verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's what the pit is. The pit is everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not designed for man. Hell was designed for the angels. And we're going to see something about angels here real quick, and I think it might help you to understand what we're dealing with. God prepared the lake of fire for Lucifer and his angels. In Matthew 25 and verse 41, "Then shall he say also unto them of the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels," not prepared for man. Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil that descended or deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." That everlasting fire prepared for Satan. Great, powerful angels. And they're going to be tormented. How much more do you think man will be tormented when he's cast into that same lake of fire? Lucifer and his angels hate God and they hate man. Understand that. I mean, we hear it, but I don't think we realize just how bad Satan hates us. Now, I want you to see many of the characteristics of angels. First of all, angels have intelligence. You see that in 1 Samuel 14:20, and my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all things that are in the earth. Angels are smart. They have intellect. Their capacity for understanding much, I think, succeeds us. They worship. In Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory as the angels stood there worshiping God. Holy, holy, holy. What was on their minds when they saw God or when they was in the presence of God? Holiness. We don't see or hear much preaching on holiness anymore because we're afraid we're going to lose somebody in the congregation. I really don't care. What are you going to do, send me back to Africa? Glory. It's 70, 80 degrees over there right now. But when the angels come in the presence of God, what are they singing? What are they shouting? Holy, holy, holy. The very foundation of all the characteristics of God is holiness. And God says, as I am holy, be ye holy, saith the Lord. We need to get back to some holy thinking. What did Satan do? Satan's against God, and he tries to distort and twist everything that God says. And he wants us to get away from holiness, the characteristic, the very fundamental, foundational characteristic of God, that of holiness. They serve. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits? That's what they were there for. That's what they were created for. They're ministering spirits. They have a free will. We've just talked about that. Satan and many angels chose to rebel against God. All the others made a choice too. They chose to stay with God and obey God. All of them made a choice. Every person on this earth will make a choice, whether to believe God and receive Christ as Savior or whether to reject God and die and go to hell. Remember, when you're given that privilege of free will, you can make the choice, but you are now responsible for that choice and you will face the consequences, good or bad, of that choice. That's what our problem is here in America. We make choices, people make choices, and there's no accountability. There's no consequences for the choices they make. You start putting consequences on the choices that people make, and they'll start making some right choices. But if they're just going to go ahead and go their own way, it's not going to change. They have desire. They have ambition. That for status, for power. I will ascend. I will sit. I will be like. I'm beautiful. I'm wise. I deserve better. I'm greater than God. All of these things that Lucifer was saying in his own heart. He may not have said them outwardly, but in his heart. I deserve this. I deserve that. That desire. And they have emotion. Remember what it talks about joy in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Angels have joy. Satan has anger and hatred. All of these are the emotions that are associated with angels. And then, number 7, they can be obedient. In Psalm 103, verse 22, blessed ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of him that do his pleasure. referring to the angels. They're there to do his pleasure. Should we not do his pleasure? He is our creator as well. The angels communicate. They communicate. Angels communicate God's message to humans. Now, understand this. In Luke, the angel brought the message to Mary. In that same, in Matthew, the angel brings the message to Joseph and communicates that message. So an angel is very capable of bringing the message of God. You say, well, what's that have to do with me? God did not choose, even though they can go everywhere, they're powerful, all of this, they can communicate. In God's wisdom, God did not choose an angel to present his gospel. God chose us, men and women, to present and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, well, wouldn't that be more? Evidently not. God chose. And he said, it's better for man. I think possibly because we have experienced redemption. We know what it's like to be lost. Angels don't know. They don't understand what it's like to be redeemed. There is no plan in all of the Bible for redemption of an angel. None. That decision was final. Now, they have strength. Psalms 103 and verse 20 states, bless ye the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his words. These angels, they excel in strength. They're so much more powerful. God sends a couple angels down and wipes out 180,000 of the army. They woke up dead, the Bible says. I never figured out how they could wake up dead, but they did. 180,000. They're very powerful. They have great strength. They're warriors. Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. They're warriors. These angels fight. These angels are warriors. Number 11, they use deception. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. They use deception. They're seducing. They will try to suck people in. They will try to manipulate. They will change the doctrine. They will twist the doctrine. It talks about doctrines of devils. In other words, the opposite of God, the doctrine of God. So they use tremendous deception. And then number 12, they're totally wicked. Totally wicked. John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus describes the devil to us. He said, you're of your father, the devil. And the lusts, all right, he lusts. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer. He's a murderer from the beginning. And he is a liar. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He's totally wicked. Totally wicked. Now, Lucifer and angels hate God and man. We're not fighting against some mechanical robot. We're fighting against a totally wicked, extremely powerful warriors that are ambitious, emotional, intelligent beings that communicate and lead, that deceives and has desires that hates God and everything about God. When we talk about Satan and we talk about the angels, the demons and things like this, we're talking about a tremendous enemy. That means if they want to destroy you with a lie, use deception, even transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness to accomplish their purpose, they will destroy you. He appears as light, not in a little red suit and ears and on the top of his head and a pitchfork and stuff like that. Not darkness, but light. He appears as light, but he leads into darkness and death. I watch young people. You watch when they start rebelling against their parents and they start getting away from God. You start watching their clothing and they begin to just get dark clothing. And before long, they're running around everything black. Why? Where'd that come from? Satan has deceived them. Do we really think that a few minutes a day or a few hours a week is enough to fight an enemy like this, that has all that power and that has all that purpose to destroy us? There's no cage, there's no fence to keep this lion out. We've been in Africa. I was scared to death. I was up there standing on top of my vehicle with my pastor looking out, and here's some lions out here a little ways. And we're keeping a good eye on them and everything. And I mean, I've seen lions so many times, but that's new for them, so they were glued to them. And I just happened to kind of start looking around, and I look behind. Here's the bushes, just about where those bushes are. Right, honey? And right behind them, there's eight lions. I went down the hole and got back in the vehicle. Listen, there's no cage for the devil and his demons. There's no fence like there is at the zoo. If you knew that a mass murderer was outside or a lion was coming into the yard or like Jurassic Park, you have a raptor that's looking through the kitchen window, something like that, how sober do you think you'd be? How vigilant would you be? Satan is seeking to destroy us, and we go about our daily lives like it's no big thing, like he's not powerful at all. Job 1:7 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered and said, From going to and fro," where? "In the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Why? Why was he going to and fro on the earth? Seeking whom he may devour. Job 2 and verse 1 says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and forth on the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Where's he at? He's not up there in heaven just floating around somewhere. He's walking to and fro on this earth. Why? I think 1 Peter tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You ever seen Christians that all of a sudden you can't find them with a stick? What happened to them? They got eaten by a lion. They got devoured. God don't mean anything anymore. God's people don't mean anything. God's house don't mean anything. The things of God are not not in their thinking, in their focus. Satan has destroyed him. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, God knew that it was time to quit, so I better quit. Amen. We'll finish this up this next week and get on to bigger and better things, all right? I hope you learned something. I hope it brings to your attention and a different focus of Satan and what he's trying to do. Lord, help us that we might resist the devil, that we might be aware, that we might be sober and vigilant. Lord, because our adversary is a very intelligent, very knowledgeable being. And he hates God and he hates us. And Lord, that you might protect us and put a hedge about us. And Lord, help us to be aware of our surroundings. Lord, bless us now. Be with service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.